We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into this week's edition of 21 Questions, the episode where we answer KCSN daily subscriber questions. And we give you the answers. That's just what we do. I'm here with my good pal, Maddie Lane, today to answer these questions with me. Maddie, how are you doing? How has your week been? You know, the last time we did one of these, we went almost an hour. So people better buckle up.
I'm sure it's going to be the same again today. So, like, let's start this. How's my day going? I'm like four, let's say, gin and tonic roughlies deep right now after a long day of building a goat house and a stable. So, like, I've had a day. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a day. I think people should be ready for us to go like 55 plus minutes. The only thing that might save them is we're kind of doing this in the middle of the Celtics Heat game. So, you know, yeah. there's a little bit of a rush, but, Tuck, how was your day? What did you get into today?
I'm good. I took my sister's graduation pictures. That's the first time I've taken any, like I was an actual photographer, you know, and like taking somebody's pictures. So I was on Pinterest looking at like poses and stuff. I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do here?
Have you added it to your bio yet though? Like, is it on your Twitter bio yet that you are a photographer?
Not yet. It might make its way there. I have to like edit the pictures yet. I've been like kind of anxious to look at them because I was like, I don't want to know yet if they suck. So I haven't looked at them. So that's what I kind of did today and just kind of, you know, obviously some podcast stuff. We had a couple podcasts get recorded and everything like that. But that's what we do here is we produce lots of content for you all to enjoy. And I always enjoy this podcast because you can kind of relax a little bit. We get to talk about what you guys want us to talk about. And I like it too because we're in this part of the season where there's not a whole lot of Chiefs news going on.
So what are you talking about? This is just jam-packed full of very up-to-date, very relevant football news.
Right, and we have a lot of questions about the Chiefs. We really don't. But last week's
perfect.
So last week, I was supposed to be on, wasn't on just because of scheduling conflict. So Maddie and I are going to do it. And the first question I got for you, Maddie, this one's from JL. Which week did the Chiefs trade for Ingram this time?
Oh God, I wish I knew the trade deadline off the top of my head. Week 9, they traded for him in week 9.
That's probably pretty strong. Yeah, it's got to be around the trade deadline. That changes like every year, doesn't it? Like, why do they do that?
I have no idea. There's a couple things about football. Like, I love football. I'm one of the biggest football nerds, but contract stuff, CBA stuff, and then like rules like the trade deadline, I just don't care about. I just don't. Realistically, I think there's a difference in how the Chiefs value Melvin Ingram and how he values himself. So somebody doesn't have interest in the other party. I don't know if it's the Chiefs. I don't know if it's Ingram, but like the interest for one of the two parties, I think, is significantly lower than the other. So like it makes it less likely, I think, that they go that route, especially after trying it out and then it still didn't click. So like I would be surprised. I know the question was probably in jest, but like, if by week 9 the Chiefs don't trade or sign some kind of veteran free agent at defensive end, I would be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, this goes right into this next question from Grayson Jaspers, actually. Is our pass rush actually worse than last year? If you look at Karlaftis over Ingram, does Jaren Reed or his production outweigh Chris Jones? slash F. Oh, Frank Clark. Oof, had a brain fart right there. Being healthy and adding Leo in blitz scenarios. I mean, yeah, I think it's worse than last year. The defensive end production wasn't great last year, but you lost the only player that really was that productive for you. So yeah, I understand the rationale of saying like, hey, Leo can do blitzes, you know, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, they're both being healthy. Jaren Reed, I don't think was very effective in the pass off the top of my head. So that's not like that big of a gap that you have to fill production wise, but like they need to be better on the defensive front. Like that has to be better. And like you said, Maddie, they got to be looking at this edge market, thinking to sign somebody because it's the cupboard's looking bare.
It is. I guess it's hard to say it's worse, though, because it was pretty bad last year. Like, trading out Melvin Ingram for George Karlaftis, I almost think I would give the edge to Karlaftis because there's just, like, this certain motor aspect, right? Like, everybody remembers, what was it, against Joe Burrow, where Chris Jones was, like, the only person trying to chase him down. And there's another play where Frank Clark just couldn't catch up to him in the playoffs. George Karlaftis can. Like, I don't think he's the best athlete in the world, but like he will keep that motor running hot. That's something that I don't think Melvin Ingram could do for four quarters. So just based on that, maybe it's a slight improvement. Taylor Stallworth slash Tershawn Wharton replacing Jaren Reed snaps as a pure pass rusher, I don't think you're necessarily moving a lot there. So it's probably about the same. You just add Karlaftis to the mix. You get Frank Clark in a contract year. You get Chris Jones probably close to a contract year. Like, he's either going to be extended by the Chiefs or he's going to be traded. Like, he's not going to play on what his current contract is. So maybe they can find a way to make it better. But talent for talent, like, it's just not good. It's not. It's like they have to make some kind of move, I think, during or before the season starts. Or it's just, it's very un-Steve Spagnuolo-like to have this level of pass rushing talent, I think, on the defensive line.
Yeah, I agree. It's something, and we've got more questions about the defensive line, the pass rush coming up. Trust me.
Shocking during this part of the season where everybody cares about the Chiefs football. There's a lot of questions about exactly one thing.
So here's another question from Grayson too. The Chiefs are projected to have 12 picks again next year. What would back-to-back drafts like this year mean for this team, Maddie?
I mean, it'd be great, right? Like, they're coming off of a really good draft in 2021. They got a lot of talent, positions that don't matter as much, and they seem to kind of swing that the other way this year. They drafted corner, defensive end, wide receiver with their first three picks. And so, like, they got positions that usually mean a little bit more to football. If they come back and they do it again, and especially if they do it as deep as they did with, you know, this many selections, then yeah. However, I would be a little shocked if you get back-to-back big in terms of quantity draft hauls from Brett Veach. Like, they didn't move around. They moved around a fair bit this year, but not like a ton. They didn't make big moves up. That's a lot of draft picks over 2 years. So like, if this draft class is as good as we think, plus a Justin Ross, plus a Mike Rose, you know, maybe Jerrion Ealy, these guys that we all kind of like as undrafted free agents, you're going to have very few roster spots moving forward, even less than this year. So maybe next year they move around a little bit more and get a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, that'd be neat to see. And Maddie, I got a question to ask you. This is a question for me. Am I wrong for being a little apprehensive on this draft class? I think it's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm just a little apprehensive to say Brett Veach nailed it quite yet. Because, I mean, they haven't taken the field yet.
You're wild as hell, Tuck. This draft is great. It's the best that's ever it's a draft class, and we're talking just like, what, 3 weeks after it's happened, right? Like, it's everything should be taken with a little bit of a grain of salt right now. You know, there's a chance that Trent McDuffie is not the size that typically works in the NFL, and it's a little bit of a struggle. There's some ups and there's downs. George Karlaftis isn't the perfect athletic profile for a defensive end, and it takes a while, or he's just an okay player, and Sky Moore needs a moment to catch up to the jump in competition. Like, there's plenty of a chance for this draft class to start a little bit slower. But when you kind of dive in, I think, to the football character of some of these guys, and I know it's a big buzzword and people have played drinking games with us using that word right now, but that's what the Chiefs keep saying. I think you have to believe that this draft class will at least figure it out at some point in time, right? Like, this seems like a class that will not fail, and they still drafted some upsides. Like, I really do like the class, and I also openly admit it's biased because they took guys that I actually liked for the first time in Brett Veach's tenure.
Hey, that helps. I mean, that really helps. I know we were doing like a podcast the week of the draft, and everyone
we
was
did.
Very,
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think we did one or two. People were very whelmed by the mock draft that we did, but we're like, hey, this is a practice exercise to be just be very whelmed when the Chiefs draft. And listen, I mean, I was excited for it when that happened, but I'm just like, I'm nervous that like it's going to be overhyped, right? So they're going to have a bunch of expectations for these rookies to fix the defensive line, right? That people expect George Kauf just to come in and get 20 sacks. Like, oh, I don't really want to put that expectations on him, or, you know, Trent McDuffie to come out there and get 6 interceptions. But yeah, it's going to be fun to see with all the rookie class. And this is kind of another, guess what, another defensive question from Jay the Fan One.
No, hold on, Tuck. You hit me with the question, so I'm hitting you with the question now, there. Okay? And somebody might ask this, but, you know, I don't read the questions. I don't know what's coming up here. Which rookie at the end of this year are we going to think was the best? Like, just who outperformed their draft slot, but, like, who was the best value? Who provided the most for where the Chiefs took them in your mind?
I think it's going to be Isaiah Pacheco.
Ooh, okay.
I really like him. I know Craig's big on Pacheeks, is what we call him.
It's a great name.
It is a great name. But I think just the value that he has, not only as like running back 3, right, but as like special teams wise, I think could be big. And, you know, love those special teamers on this team. So I think that's kind of what I'm looking at too, is guys that provide value and more than just their traditional position. You know, I think Leo could be a guy like that too, who's really good on special teams and adds a lot to this team. So those two guys are the first two that come to my head.
I agree. I mean, I kind of agree with you. I like the thing with Pacheco is, as a 7th round pick, if he's running back 3 and then even just has a couple plays and a couple special teams plays, like, that's clearly a good value.
Yeah.
I can see Trent McDuffie having a really good year. And I like that you brought up Leo Chenault, because BJ and I think we're talking about this one time not recording. He's probably going to be, like, by the end of the year, there's like sneaky suspicion that he's going to be like a lot of Chiefs fans' favorite rookie or favorite player. Just his style of play, his jersey might fly off. Like, he seems like a really good fit for Chiefs fans who's still, you know, a Midwest football guy. That's Leo Chenault. And I think he's a guy that a lot of people will love. So, like, I think it's going to be, you're going to get a little bit of that Nick Bolton syndrome, right? Where for a coast team that, like, the fan base really values the ability and coverage and some like flashier plays, maybe wouldn't be as favored. Whereas a Midwest team loves, you know, their physical, explosive downhill run stuffers. That's Nick Bolton. And that's also Leo Chenault. So I just think he's a guy that a lot of people will gravitate towards as the year goes on too.
Did Leo change his number in the recent round of number change?
Oh, buddy, did he? I believe he took Nick Bolton's number. So he has moved from 49 to 54, right? That's what Bolton was? Now I'm struggling. I think so, though. I think he's now moved to 54 from 49, which is a great change, because, like, 49, not a great number on a linebacker, right? He should have been a single digit, first of all. He should have been a single digit. But then Bolton changed and took his college number, so good for him. But I think going to 54 for Leo Chenault was a very, very, very good change. And that makes that jersey much more buyable than 49 ever was.
I think moving for 32 for Nick Bolton is a strong move for Nick Bolton. Obviously, not mentioning the guy who had the number before him.
Right.
But just going back to his college number is awesome. I'm trying to do a quick look up here, but they make it impossible. There's the Chiefs roster to find by sort of by number, because he started 49 and he is,
it's 54 now. He switched to 54. Yeah. I remember he took Nick Bolton's number once he moved. I just couldn't remember if Bolton was 54 or not, but he was.
So. That's right. I couldn't remember if it was him or Karloftis that changed the number, because I know that. Oh,
we're still waiting for Karloftis to change his number. We're still waiting.
He's got to get away from 56, right?
That's like, so bad.
You can't have another.
It's a good number. Okay, 56 is a good number for an athlete, and especially like a super athlete that has like length and is kind of like a linear build. But you get a stockier guy wearing 56. That number's got a lot of curves in it. The Chiefs' numbers are big. Like, that's just not a good look. It's not a good look.
What did he wear at Purdue? 5, right?
5. Yeah, 5.
See, man, I love single-digit edge rusher, and they don't allow that yet. They don't allow single-digit for edge rushers.
If you're classified as an outside linebacker, you can be a single-digit. So Melvin Ingram was an outside linebacker with the Steelers. They kept him at outside linebacker, I think, for the Chiefs, which allowed him, I guess, to get at that time 24 or whatever. Like, it's just like, yeah, it depends on how you're classified. It's weird. This is also why we go an hour. We're not talking jersey tapes, but like, we haven't got to do them yet. And like, we're the only two that care because we're the youths. Like, we're the people that know aesthetics. We understand how it works and how it can make or break your career.
Yeah. Give the Chiefs a white helmet. That's my take. That'd be sick. Where was I? Okay. Here, I found it. Jay the Fan One. He says, I keep hearing people talking about how the Chiefs had a very good pressure rate last year, but of course we're not able to get sacks. With the investment in the secondary, will the eventual improvement in coverage lead to more sacks? He goes on to say he could also see this lead to more opposing quarterbacks running against us. Not many of them are going to outrun Willie Gay or Leo. I don't know what I want to say. I don't think it's a contradiction. It's just kind of the relationship between pass rush and coverage in the secondary is something that's just very interesting to me. And it seems like something that's like always really latched on by broadcasters. It seems like pregame broadcasters are this way. It's like, well, they got, you know, good coverage guys, so they're going to get a lot of coverage sacks, or they got good pressure, so they're going to be able to be easier to cover those guys. It's like, I don't think it's like that simple, right? I don't think it's as simple as we like to make it seem. I do think that there are obviously such things as coverage sacks. I do think that the secondary, well, hang on a second before I go down this rabbit hole. Do you think the secondary is better than it was last year?
Yes.
I think it's close.
Okay, I think it goes, this is how it goes for me, right? I think Trent McDuffie allows more versatility out of the cornerback room. They can now play more coverages out of the corner room. You don't have to just stick to press man or press, hey, play only this one third of the field like you kind of did with Ward and Rashad Fenton or whoever else is playing on the outside. You then combo that with Lonnie Johnson, who hasn't been great, but he has the size, the strength, and the ability to be a good press corner who can do those things. I think the cornerback room will improve. I love Tyrann Mathieu. I think Tyrann Mathieu's a great player. He's on the edge of being in the Ring of the Honor for the Chiefs. I don't care what people say. He's right on the cusp. I think Justin Reed's a better football player right now. And I'm not, Brian Cook's definitely a better football player than Dan Sorensen right now. And I'm not certain he's not also an improvement over Juan Thornhill. Again, back to that same Trent McDuffie versatility. So yeah, I think the secondary should be able to give you a slightly better play. Not necessarily more consistent, just better. More highs, maybe a few more lows to start the year, but I think it will be better overall.
So then you take that. I think I'm on the same page with you. I think I lean more towards that the secondary will be better this year than it was last year. But then you start to look at, we already had a question about, is the pass rush already better? It's just like, that's kind of a wash too. So you're starting to look at it as like, is it really going to be better? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's just, you know, I've already said I'm kind of pessimistic. Maybe not pessimistic is the right word. I don't want to get my feelings hurt, right? So I just always assume the worst about when I think about this stuff. But I think that if you keep your expectations to last year's sack rate, I guess. Is that a stat? Did I just make that up?
Nope, that's the thing. Okay, you nailed
cool.
it.
Cool. I figured that was a stat. But if you set last year's sack rate as a benchmark, I think that'll be good. I think that's what you should do.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know the sack rate for like the Chiefs off the top of my head, but I know their conversion rate from pressures to sacks, I don't believe was particularly good. I mean, now you can also go look. There's like, you know, like what, four missed Tyrann Mathieu sacks and some other guys that aren't defensive linemen that kind of roll into that stat. But yeah, I agree with you. I think I don't necessarily want to say pessimistic. I just think there's a reason to be patient. Like, you got to kind of see what this plays out and don't jump to conclusions by like midpoint of the season, right? Go back to 2019. Remember how bad the Chiefs defense was for the first half of the year while you had all these new guys learning Steve Spagnuolo's system, which is pretty complicated. Like, let these guys get some time before you jump to conclusions, I think is like the biggest like warning or piece of advice I could probably throw out there.
Yeah. I think that's the best message we can send when it comes to the serious Chiefs stuff. And we're about to get into non-serious Chiefs stuff. The good stuff.
Let's go. This is the good stuff. This is what I live for.
So we're gonna have a couple questions here back to back from Christian Gumminger here. You get to pick out the next piece of merch. What are you picking? He gives some examples: tanks, seltzer. KCS and seltzer would go incredibly hard, etc. What are you picking, Maddie?
Listen, as much as I want to just rep the brand and say tank tops, we need some tank tops in the merch store. Whoever's in charge, snapbacks, man. We need I have a KCSN snapback. I like it, but I need a better one. I'm not afraid to say it. I need a better one. It's a good snapback, but it's not great. I need a snapback. And if you're a hat guy and you don't like them, I get it. I understand why you want your fitted hats or anything else, but give me a trucker style snapback with the lab, with the KCSN logo, something on it, nice and big, so everyone sees it. Like, that's top of the line. And then a tank top is hard number two.
Hats are strong. I'm in the process of growing my hair kind of out, right? So I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with my hair. So I just haven't gotten a haircut. So a hat's a really good versatile item that I can just be like, I don't know, my hair looks weird today, so I'm just gonna put a hat on. And that plays 95% of the time.
Now, hold on. What's the goal? What's the end goal with the hair growth?
So, I don't know. I think I want to look like...
Tommy?
No. Not that long. I'm not going to go to the shoulders. I don't even know if you can even see.
I see it. It looks great.
It's getting longer, and it's kind of at an awkward phase right now. But
trying to get that surfer wave, what are we going for?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think I just want to flow, right? I don't think I want it down to my shoulders. I don't want it to be I had long hair at one point. If you go to my Instagram, you can see it. I think I still got pictures when I had long hair. It was a long time ago, but I don't want that. I want a medium length hair, I guess you could say. But
this is a bold strategy for summertime. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I'm gonna lob that out there. This is a bold strategy for the middle of summer in Kansas City.
It really is, and there's a lot of times where I'm like, I just want to cut all of it off, and I go back and forth between I should get a buzz cut or I should grow my hair really long, and those don't really go hand in hand. But I think the next piece of merch, KCS and seltzer would go so hard.
You know how
many hoops we'd have to jump through to get that to happen? A lot of hoops. What flavor would it be? That's for another podcast.
I think this is the perfect podcast. I don't know if anybody else in KCS and drink seltzer besides us two. So this is the only time. Okay, so what's the top flavor so far on the TikTok grading of seltzers?
Let me pull up my note I have in my phone here.
There you go. You do that. I know it's not eggnog. We will miss the eggnog flavor.
That one was so bad.
I feel black cherry is kind of safe, and I don't feel like we're not a safe group. We got to get more bold.
So the highest rated seltzer, I should have known this off the top of my head. The highest rated seltzer was the Mountain Dew Baja Blast at a 9.4. Which it's hard to replicate that. Citrus soda at 9.2.
Citrus, that's a strong. We might have to go. I'm a big lemon lime kind of guy. So a lemon lime flavor, I think, probably hits.
That's good for summertime. I think that's a strong one. The number three is Hard Mountain Dew Black Cherry at 9.0.
Black Cherry.
I don't have many in the nines. There's three seltzers that are in the nines in terms of my seltzer ratings. So that would be pretty sick. My KCSN seltzer, eventually, that'd be sick.
We just need to get the Holiday Distillery to rebrand their bourbon as KCSN bourbon, and we're set, right?
I think so. I think that's the next step. Okay. Another question from Christian. This is football adjacent. If the entire AFC West was quarterbacked by Derek Carr clones, rank each team. Now do the same if it's quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes clones. Everything else remains the same, roster, coaches, etc.
Okay. Not preparing for this makes this difficult, but I think I'm going to put the Raiders in last regardless. Yeah. Because I think they have the worst offensive line and the worst collection of playmakers and or just guys that matter on defense, right? So I'll put the Raiders last regardless. I think they're probably closer to third with Derek Carr than Mahomes. I don't know. That's a weird way to split it up. I'm putting them last. God, this is tricky.
I think I know. Okay, I'm gonna start with the Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
And I still think the Raiders are last. You have to take in consideration, you know, coaches and everything. It's first year coaching staff. It's tough. First year GM, that's also tough. I think I'm gonna go. God, this is tough. I think I'm gonna go Broncos. See, but the Broncos have a good receiving core. That's the thing I keep getting caught up on.
They do. Okay. I think I'm gonna go back this way. Well, God, yeah, no, this is a tricky question. Like, right, I think the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Chargers are all relatively close. Mm-hmm. I think right now we know more about the Broncos and the Chargers receiving group. Like, it's a mm-hmm. little bit more established. I would also I think Chargers are number one. Like, if you're making the quarterback completely even, I think the Chargers are first on both sides. With Mahomes or with Derek Carr. I just think they have the most proven wide receiver room. They have enough playmakers on all, or at least a defensive, you know, line and in the secondary. So like whether it's Derek Carr, whether it's Mahomes, I think they're first. I think with Derek Carr, I might put the Broncos second because you have those established receivers. You know, these guys that can get open, they can win entirely mm-hmm. on their own. You have enough there. If you get out to a lead, you have a pass rush that is absolutely going to keep you in the lead. They have some guys, Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, that are kind of proven in that regard. But if it's Mahomes, I'll put the Chiefs at two. So, like, Raiders are last regardless. If it's Patrick Mahomes, I'll go Chiefs actually with – or no, sorry. If it's Derek Carr, the Chiefs will be third. Then the Broncos will be second. The Chargers will be first. If it's Patrick Mahomes, it's going to go Raiders last. Broncos second or third, Chiefs second, Chargers first.
I think I agree.
I think the Chargers are first. I don't know if that's a hot take. I think the Chiefs had a really good draft, but their free agency period was a little meh, and it was already really, really close. And I still think there's a gap between Mahomes and Herbert. So, like, yeah, I think the Chargers are a comfortable first. I think the Raiders are a comfortable last. And, like, the other two, I guess, to me, is where I see a little bit of the dicey back and forth.
The Broncos might already have Derek Carr as their quarterback, though. Who knows?
After week nine.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Here we go. Here's a good one. Andy Nagel. Keep, trade, and cut. Snead, Bolton, Karlaftis.
You go first.
I'm keeping Snead. Trade and cut? That's wild. That's a wild scenario. Keep, trade, mm-hmm. and cut? Wow.
Yep.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm still keeping Snead, I think, out of those. Sorry, Nick. I... I guess I've backed myself into a corner here. So I guess I'm going to trade Bolden to get some value out of him and cut Karlaftis.
What kind of value you think you're getting out of a
Listen, you're not going to get a lot of value out of Karlaftis because he hasn't played a
double. No, you're not. That's why I'm trading Snead. The one position that I Karlaftis obviously isn't getting that much in return right now because he lasts until 30 in the NFL draft, right? Like, we're too early to get anything. I think he's the guy that he's got to be a cut or a keep. And if I'm cutting or keeping a linebacker versus a defensive end, I'm keeping the defensive end. So I'm trading Snead because I think it's the best value. I also think Trent McDuffie kind of can play his same general role. I think they have a replacement that can do what he does. I will then cut Nick Bolton. I don't want to be a Nick Bolton hater, but like, it's just, you know, he's a two down linebacker. I think Leo Chanel can do a lot of what Nick Bolton did. Maybe he's not as smart in terms of calling the plays yet, but he can play in a similar style of football. And then finally, we'll keep Karlaftis and just see what he can become. And maybe next year, when you ask this question, he's the trade candidate after he has a 12 sack season.
That's a brutal question. Okay, here we go. Zach Smitterax. He asks, favorite deadlift variation and why?
Oh, God.
Straight leg deadlift is what I always like to do. Straight leg deadlift. I don't know why. It makes me jump higher.
I have such a real answer for this. Sumo deadlift is my favorite. Why? Because when I started getting into Olympic lifting, I really struggled to separate deadlift from my clean pull. So coming off the ground, I struggled to separate the two, and it kind of messed up both lifts. Like, I would get more quad over my toes on my deadlift, and I would get too far back, hips too high for my clean. So I had to find a way to separate it. And then I also feel better glute and hamstring engagement when I do sumo, than just traditional feels like it's the entire body working, you know, all together. It's a little bit more isolated with sumo. So like, I got close to the same level. And if I'm feeling real degenerate, I'll go with a deficit sumo deadlift. I'll elevate myself an inch or two and then still pull from the ground. And it's a move that you feel it. You feel it in places you didn't know exist. So like, big sumo deadlift guy for anybody out there that's trying to work out right now and does not sumo deadlift.
We would always do, and when I was, you know, playing football, we would, every workout had like, I think, two sets of 10 of straight leg deadlifts. Like, that's what it was. Every workout, like, you would end it with two sets of straight leg deadlifts. And they were elevated straight leg deadlift. So like, we were really just trying to jump higher, I think, is what our coach wanted us to do. He said, hey,
it's a good workout. I do enjoy straight leg deadlifts. I do enjoy them. That's a lot of hamstring and glute work there at the end of every workout. But you know, it makes sense for some football stuff. I do like those too. Really, I don't love traditional deadlifts. I'm fine with. I have no issues with them when I do them. But like, I don't love them. It's not like my favorite. I'd much rather squat than deadlift, I think, which is wild because like the deadlift is the one lift in the world that like I'm proportionately semi well built to do. Like, I have decently long arms to go with like normal length legs for my size. So it makes like deadlifting probably my best leverage out of any lift. But I don't know. It's traditional deadlift. It's just, it's fine. It's what it is. It's a checkbox.
I am built for the bench press because I have short arms and a big chest, and I am built for the squats.
You're built for everything in a weight room, Tuck. Like, you are built for everything in a weight room. Like, the bar doesn't have to go anywhere, and you're throwing weight around everywhere. Like, it's great. I'm in a rough spot. I'm terrible for the bench, man. Like, I can't bench. I've never been able to bench. Even when I was a lot bigger, I benched like garbage. Like, I'm just not a bencher. Bad bencher.
Walked into the weight room for the first time on Monday, and I was like, I can bench two plates just fine. And like, I moved it four times, and I was like, yeah, that was awesome. That was cool. And I haven't lifted a weight in 4 years, so I can still do two plates. Sweet. But my chest still hurts. Like, if I don't know. I wasn't doing it with a spotter either, so I was like, you know what? Maybe I just like calm down a little bit.
There is no chance if I didn't work out for 2 years that I'm moving 225, even like a half a rep. Just no chance. I am not built for that life.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. And I like, it was after the workout, I was like, wait, what was I doing? And, you know, it's like, why did I go in there thinking like, yeah, I can just move this around real quick. Yeah, I don't, wild. But anyway, Zach Z Tuttle. I just assumed his name was Zach. So if your name's not Zach Z Tuttle 15, I'm sorry.
What's your second option? What's option B? If it's not Zach,
see, that's the thing. I don't know. Zachariah, but I think you still shorten that down to Zach.
That counts. Yeah, you gotta come up with something else.
Zay. What, Z Tuttle 15, what is one game this year that you think the Chiefs will lose when they absolutely shouldn't? The answer, quote, any game they lose is not allowed, Maddie.
What?
Yeah. Gosh, probably the game. Who do they have this year? That's how bad I am.
I don't know the schedule idea.
Yet.
Okay. So what game so I have to think that they lose that they should not. Okay.
Oh,
yeah. I'm checking through the schedule now. But see, like, that's the thing. I don't know which games I think they'll lose that they shouldn't. I'll say the Bengals again, because I think the Bengals aren't that talented of a team. The Bengals are a good team, but not a great team. And I think they have just, I think last year they ran into such an incredible amount of luck in not even just luck, but like their situational football was so good that it kind of came across as luck, and it allowed them to beat teams that were much more talented than them all across the board. Now, if the Chiefs lose them again, that's going to be hard on the psyche to come back from going 0-3 against them. But like, that's the one I could see them realistically losing, that they are a better team.
So I think it's an AFC South team. Looking at this, and
I don't even have football. That's not football.
I think it's the Colts. The Colts. I think they should beat the Colts, but it's one of those things where you never know when you're playing Indianapolis. And I think it's in Indianapolis too. So bad vibes all around already to start off that. So I apologize for already bringing that up. So Mike Denny, our buddy Mike, he asked, describe your ideal summer day.
Oh boy. Okay. Like, are we going like hour by hour here? Like, what's going on?
I think that my ideal summer day is sitting by a beach with a nice rum cocktail that is very like, is a fruity rum cocktail. Listen,
rum guy.
I just think it's when you're by the water. I think rum, it makes me feel like.
Oh, okay. Here's something that people don't know. You went on a cruise recently. I'm taking the exact same cruise, just like a month later. I'm going on this literally the exact same trip. I'm also hitting you. Mm-hmm. Where did you go after? You went to Epcot or something after, right?
We went to Islands of Adventure at Universal Studios. Universal. So I think I basically did the preview of your vacation. It's the same boat. It's the same boat. It's the same trip, same number of days. You need to check out my bartender, Alberto. He hooked me up.
If there's an Alberto bartender, I will go find him. So I'm hitting Disney, and like, I'll have the kids, so it'll be a little different, but like, I'm going to hit Disney and then go on the exact, and then I'll do Disney first, then hit the cruise. But it's like, I'm going on the same cruise. I just wanted to ask, like, what was the drink that you had the most on the ship?
When I got there the first day, I drank a lot of Long Islands, and then they quickly turned into, I don't know if you've heard this drink, it's a family-friendly podcast. I don't know if I can say the full name, but it's an adios, you know, adios, MF-er. And Alberto then started to call it the Tucker Mix. No wonder that I was gone the first night, because I drank several of those. But then I quickly transitioned to rum and Coke, but you have to be specific when you order them, because they'll just put like Bacardi, like white Bacardi in it. And I'm more of a spiced guy. I'm more of a spiced rum guy. So you have to say spiced rum, and they actually only carry Pepsi on Carnival cruises. So you have to say spiced rum and Pepsi, which is Pepsi better than, or Coke is better than Pepsi is what I meant to say. But, that's what I drink a lot of, but they also have like the specialty, like their menu of like, this is what we got going on. And I'm trying to think what it was. Like a cruiser, I think is what it was. It was really good. It's very fruity, and it's got all kinds of rum in it. So,
okay. I was just intrigued about the trigger choice. Not a big rum guy, but you know, we'll try. If I find an Alberto bartender, I'm going to ask for the Tucker Mix. Like, I'm just going to say it and see what he does. I won't even like let him know that I know you. I'm just going to ask for the Tucker Mix and see how he responds and just see what happens. best summer day. Yeah, you know, like I like the beach idea. You know, I like getting to hang out with the friends, getting to see some people. I found a few refreshing gin-related drinks that I would not mind sipping on throughout the day. I actually don't mind on a summer day having like a little bit of like manual labor to do. Like, you know, nothing difficult, but like, you know, you want me to like screw some stuff together outside, or you want me to like mow a very small portion or weed a small portion of the yard. I'm game for that during the summer, you know, get a little sun, do just enough to build up a sweat, but like not enough to crush out the whole day. It's like, you know, little stuff like that. And then we got, you know, friends, family hanging around, maybe working on the grill a little bit, having some refreshing drinks. There's a lot of good stuff. Oh man, boy, tell you what, if you could throw in like a real, like, you know, towards the end of summer, get a Chiefs training camp in the morning. Ooh. With Camp TikTok, and then roll out and finish out your summer day like that. And I'll tell you, buddy, I'd be gone. We're good.
Oh yeah, summer's almost here. There's a couple 90 degree days in Kansas City that made me like think, oh, this is summer. I'm not ready for 90 degrees yet. Okay, we got a few more questions before we get out of the show. We've already gone 40-ish minutes, so we'll get out of here pretty quick. Maddie, do you have Discord up in front of you
right now? Okay, I do have Discord up.
Okay, because Zach the Layman's Insider asked, can't believe my Civil War photoshops were never discussed. Please discuss their accuracy. Have you seen these pictures?
I have. I can't say I remember them off the top of my head. I do remember laughing at them. I don't remember them off the top of my head. It was over the Bradbury argument.
Yeah, naturally.
Okay, I'm going back to the fan art to see if they were posted in there.
I don't think they were posted. This was pre-fan art.
Okay. Okay, so if like we're just talking about who would be who out of like the, you know, out of Mike Marvel or like the Marvel superheroes in Civil War, right? Like, I think that's what the questions are relating to, like who would be who. Craig and Kent and I have talked about this before. Like Craig's definitely Doctor Strange, right? Like he's the guy that just like has everything figured out that he shouldn't. That's just him.
He shouldn't, yeah.
Kent is like Kent. It's just hard to like, you know, place everybody else, but like I think it was good. I really enjoyed it. Anyone in the Discord should ask Zach the Layman's Insider for this picture again. Like you should get it posted and take a peek. And then actually, if you guys get this, go to the at the bottom of the KCSN Discord. There is a fan art channel. Post in there who you guys think each member of KCSN would be in the Marvel superhero world. Actually, your guys' answer is a lot cooler than ours. So you tell us who we would be.
That's true. I was listed as the Incredible Hulk, and I cannot confirm nor deny that is accurate. Leighton E44, are the Chiefs actually going to add some D-line veterans, or are we all just dreaming at this point? Here you go, D-line question again.
Yes, they will add somebody by week 9. I don't know if it'll excite you, but it will be week 9.
Grayson Jaspers, he asked, which Chiefs jersey from this year's draft will be the one to buy after the 2024 season? Is that in 2 years, 2024 season?
Yes.
Okay.
2 years.
Okay. Isaiah Pacheco. I'm going to stick to the brand.
Oh, it's Sky Moore. 2024 season. It's number 24. You get to be the first wide receiver that like matters to wear that number. Yeah, it's going to be Sky Moore when he has back-to-back 1,000-yard years rocking the 20s number.
Yeah, I thought about Sky Moore at first, but I thought I had to go Isaiah Pacheco because it's number 10, you know. Zach Eisen, he asked, who would you bet becomes a first-time Pro Bowler this year?
So this is okay. Did Trey Smith technically make the Pro Bowl last year? Does being an alternate count? Because he was an alternate, right?
Yeah. Was Creed technically an alternate too?
I think so.
Did they both go?
I don't, or maybe Trey wasn't an alternate, but he I think that I would say him, if not him, Creed.
I gotcha. Yeah, I think it has to be one of the offensive linemen is what it has to be. It's so tough for Pro Bowlers and offensive linemen in terms of stuff like that. So who was it? Was it Mitch Schwartz that didn't get a Pro Bowl? Is that
like
who it was?
Ever, right?
Yeah,
that was something.
Wild. Okay, let's find my spot. Grayson Jaspers again. Rank these players in order from least to most surprised to make the 53-man roster. Here we go, Maddie. We already got 53-man roster predictions going on. Gore, Baker, Bouchel, and Nazia. That's not how you say his last name. Nazi? That's how you say it.
Nazee Johnson is going to be the – oh, sorry, from least to most. So least surprising is Shane Buechele. If the Chiefs decide to carry three quarterbacks, he'll be the one, right? Like, there's a very direct path. Mm-hmm. Two, I'll go with Baker, DeAndre Baker, because he knows the system. Maybe Rashad Fenton still dealing with an injury. Maybe Joshua Williams doesn't look ready. Derek Gore, I will go with third as the third most likely or the third least likely to make. I think I'm doing this backwards. I'm ordering it from least surprised. Okay. Gore will be next. I think that running back room is going to be hard to crack for him, but there is a chance because he knows the system. I would be surprised if Nazee Johnson makes it. The only way he does is if he's just simply way better than everybody else in the special teams. But I think a lot of the guys he's competing with are going to be counted on to be special teams players.
Yeah, and Buechele is a lock. I don't know if, Maddie, I don't know if you know the story. I started pronouncing Shane Buechele's name as Shane Buechele.
Okay, let's do it.
It's pretty sick. It's a lot cooler than Buechele.
It is. Right? I don't disagree. Shane Buechele. Well, like so here's the thing. I would do that, but then are we going to be like infringing on Patrick Mahomes' ability to be the best? Like if you have a name like Shane Buechele, like you kind of have to be really pretty much the top guy.
That's a good point.
Don't make the rules.
That's a good point. A couple questions here from Casey. Calm conditions, what's your 150-yard club? Maddie, you don't golf, so I say
seven. I've golfed before, and I have no idea which clubs hit that general range. What normally hits 150? Like, what's like an average I golf, you know, once a month kind of club to hit 150?
So that's kind of like me. I don't hit my clubs particularly far. I don't know why. Maybe I don't have enough hip torque. Maybe my hips aren't loose. And talk to Peter about that. I think mine's a seven, but I don't hit my clubs particularly far. I don't hit it very far. Okay. So that's what I hit. You honestly, when in doubt, I hit a seven. That's what
okay. Yeah, you know, so when I used to golf, like, you know, I wasn't great. I could hit the ball far, I just couldn't hit it straight very frequently. So like if you know, seven is we'll go with a seven. Like that seems fine. I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to my clubs. I was drinking, I was driving a golf cart, and I was having a good time. I got like not good, but like, you know, acceptable. Like I wasn't embarrassed to go play. Like I didn't have to let everybody play through me. Like it wasn't that bad that I had to let people play through. But like I have no idea what clubs I used to hit specific distances. I don't even know if I ever looked at the distance of a hole in my life.
You just looked at it and said, this is about right.
Yeah, I looked at it and I said, you know, that seems like something I need a driver for. Oh, I don't feel like using the driver today. I'm hitting it like garbage. So you know, it's just I didn't play. I played with a bunch of guys that also started playing at the same time. We just kind of had fun. And that was the whole gist. Like I have no idea how far or anything I hit.
It's like film versus analytics almost. You know, just like don't look at the numbers.
We've already gone 45 minutes. We're not going into that. Sorry. We're not going into that cesspool.
Sorry. Casey from Casey again. How many Tank 7s can you drink in one evening before feeling like you've had a hard night in Belgium the next morning? I don't like Tank 7. There, I said it. I don't like it. I don't get it. I know I've been keeping that one in. I don't like it. I don't think it tastes good. It's not particularly my favorite. So yeah, zero.
This question was maybe said probably for Craig Stout. I can tell you guys this. Craig Stout also doesn't like Tank 7.
It's true.
Big beer guy also doesn't like Tank 7. This guy, Maddie Lane, not a big fan of most beers. So like, you know, give me a good sour every now and then, I'm cool with it. But like just beers, eh. So, you know, like I'm with everybody else. Tank 7 does nothing for me. Like I take a swig and I'm like, ooh, do I really have to finish this? Depends on if I bought it, if someone bought it for me, how close am I to the person that bought it for me? Are they standing next to me? Do I have to drink it to be nice? Like, you know, Not Tank 7 guy.
Good take. V. Gerst, he asked, if you could transfer Leo Chanel's athletic ability into any current Chiefs player, so basically give any Chiefs player a RAS of 10 for their position, who would you pick?
Yum. Okay. Okay. Leo Chanel's athletic profile, like, the arm, I'm going to slightly ignore the arm length part of it because he has really, really, really short arms for an off-ball linebacker. But like, just like the movement skills, I'm torn between giving them to George Karloftis, so I think he can turn, and just Trip McDuffie. Like, I make Trip McDuffie bigger. if I just can make Trent McDuffie bigger and a little bit better athlete, like, I feel great about it. So like, if Trent McDuffie gets to be like one of the most athletic quarterbacks to ever exist, I think that's a big, huge bonus to his IQ and how smart he is. Like, I think I would go that route because Leo Chenal is one of the best athletes to ever test an off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, and my first thought was Karlaftis, but Karlaftis tested pretty well for his position in terms of arrest. Maybe just give him longer arms. I think he was a 9 something what Karlaftis had. So I think that maybe Sky get Sky a little bit taller. I don't know.
Tough because like I'm trying really hard not to just position, like, the arm length thing holds me back a little bit from some of them. But like, if I ignore that and just look at the movement skills, like a Trent McDuffie, Sky was already pretty good, but he would be another one. Like, I think Trent McDuffie would still be my kind of answer as long as I get to ignore like the arm length aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got one more question left. Cup O Cheddar. Who was the Texans GM in this ultra mega KCSN member only mock draft? Incredible feat by everyone involved. I tip my hat to you. If you could swap one of the Chiefs 2022 draft picks for a player that was available at that pick, who would it be and how would it make the team better? This one encourages a lot of thinking.
Brian Cook for Nick Bonitto, who the Broncos took a couple picks later. And Nick Bonitto doesn't exactly fit Steve Spagnuolo's threshold. But if I'm in charge, he's going to play. He's going to be one of my third down defensive ends. He's going to bring some more pass rush juice. And we spent this entire 21 questions talking about what are the Chiefs going to do at defensive end. So how about I go get one of the other best pass rushers available for Brian Cook, who I like. I like his versatility. But anytime I watch him, I find myself kind of thinking like, are you sure that was a second round pick when all these other guys were available? Like, he's good, but is he great? Like, what are we ultimately going to get here at the high end? So if I could swap him out as a safety for Nick Bonitto as an edge rusher, I think that would be the direction that I would lean.
Was George Pickens still on the board?
No, he was taken before Sky Moore was. The Chiefs traded. He was he was available. The Chiefs traded back, and then he was gone before they took Sky Moore.
That's right. I was just trying to think how I could get George Pickens and Sky Moore on the same team.
Take him over Karlaftis.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that.
And Carl.
Let's think here. No, I think, Maddie, I think I'm going to let you have the last word on that because that's way better than anything that I could think of. Because I do like Nick. I've got a buddy who's an Oklahoma fan, and he likes him. And Oklahoma had a good defensive line. So, I mean, they had Perrion Winfrey as well. I mean, they had a couple guys. They got a couple dudes on that defensive line that were pretty nasty, went pretty high.
The defense was still terrible. It's wild that Oklahoma can bring in all these 4 or 5-star defensive talented players and just have such bad defense.
All right, Maddie, last question. I know I said that the other one was last question, but this is the real last question. Team Saban or Team Jimbo?
Is this a question? Nick Saban's playing Jimbo Fisher in all of college football like a GD fiddle right now. Like, people act like he's just going off the cuff or being wild. Like, no. He's very, very much thought this out step for step, and it's been perfect, right? Like, he's got his booster's attention by talking about where NILs are going. So, like, all of a sudden, everyone's paying attention. Like, oh, wait, Nick Saban thinks that this is going to happen. X, Y, and Z, what's going on? Then he's talking about how, oh, if this is the way college football is going, this is really bad for the sport because everyone's just going to throw money. And now, all of a sudden, his booster's like, hey, maybe we should throw money so people don't catch us. And then just to top it off, he's going to go at the one team that he knows their head coach is going to clap back because Jimbo just cannot help himself. So Jimbo's going to get up there, call a press conference, clap back, not just at Saban, but all of Alabama. Nick Saban just ensured, not that they weren't already, but he just ensured that Bama's boosters are going to open every checkbook they ever had to Alabama to sign all these players. Oh, and he made sure to bring in the fact that Texas A&M had the number one recruiting class so that they technically beat Bama again like they did last year in the recruiting pool. Like, Nick Saban thought about this for months, and he just did it perfectly, and he is just running circles around poor Jimbo, who's just getting emotional about everything.
I will say, Jimbo came with some haymakers. Jimbo did not go quietly.
No, he did. He came out swinging, but the problem is, like, Nick knew he would. Nick coaxed him into it. Nick doesn't care what Jimbo was together and say. Like, right? The whole point is just making sure that he's going to get the money that he wants. That's all Nick wanted. Like, he knows where it's going. Everybody knows Bama's already paying players just like every other Power 5 team. They're no different. They play by a different set of rules. They can say, hey, do you want to come here? Cool. What is X, Y, and Z team paying you? We'll pay you the same, and then you get to play at Bama instead of Texas A&M, right? The only thing that matters is if somebody else is going to offer more money. Nick, all he did was ensure that his boosters are going to sign the checks they need to sign to make sure that people choose them over another team. And he made it seem like their idea by just planting these subliminal messages about this is the direction of college football. Texas A&M is getting these top, you know, recruits. Jimbo's getting up there and saying, oh, look who Nick Saban is. He thinks he's God. Look at what he did. Start digging into his past and all this stuff. Like, he played him like a fiddle. Jimbo did exactly what Saban wanted him to.
There you have it. Matty Lane at Matty underscore KCSN. Follow him on Twitter for all the takes. I saw you had a thread going on about the Jimbo and the Saban thing. So I had to tee you up there. Matty, thank you for joining me on this.
You're good at this. We need to get you on a mic more often and not just behind the scenes.
Stop it. You're making me blush. That's going to do it for this week's 21 questions. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at KC Sports Network to figure out what we're doing. We're doing all kinds of stuff. New bourbon release from Holiday Distillery coming out this weekend on Saturday. If you are in the Kansas City area, you should get out there at 9:30. I got a message saying 9:30 is the lineup for people to go and buy this bourbon. You're only going to be able to buy it really like at the distillery for like the first few days, just because it takes a while for like trucks to ship out everywhere to liquor stores, but it's only going to be in the Kansas City area. If you want to get your hands on a bottle, make sure to head up to Holiday Distillery. Got a busy week here for KCSN, so make sure you're staying tuned. So make sure you like and subscribe to the video if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast channel. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Let us know what you like, what you don't. Give us a 5-star review even if you don't like us. Those are the rules. So appreciate you guys listening. We'll catch you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.